Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. Our prayer is that this message will speak to your heart.
I wanted to say something briefly, and it really has come from observations. When we give our lives to Christ, those that were following us up, those that were discipling us, emphasized on something else which I think is missing in the church today. I look at Christianity today, I think it has become more about needs, 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 needs. I need a car, I need a job, I need that, I need a husband, I need a wife, I need a child. But there is more to that. There is more to a job, there is more to a child, there is more to a husband or a wife. There's actually more to that. And I feel that we need to go beyond what I call needs-based Christianity to something else that the Lord desires that should also come to pass in our lives. And that's what I'm going to try to look at, because I think the whole, if you would allow me to use the word, doctrine about who Christ is, somehow seems to be missing. And because of that, there is one thing which I have observed over and over in the church. And when I say the church, I'm talking about the body of Christ, which I think greatly affects our walk with God and the way we are living the Christian life. So I want to speak about Jesus. And I told Pastor Emas, I said, the title is Jesus the Christ. I deliberately said that because I didn't want to say Jesus Christ. I said Jesus the Christ is the Alpha and Omega. And I deliberately had to put the Alpha and Omega, though my main focus is not on the Alpha and Omega. There is a reason why I had to put it in there, because of something that I want to focus on and which I want us to discuss this morning and discover. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you that we are your children, and we want to thank you that you are God. And I pray this morning in Jesus' mighty name, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I pray, let your word come with clarity. Let your word come with power, and let your word come with Holy Spirit. I pray, speak the depths of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 22, I'm going to read verse 12. To 16. I wanted initially to read it in two versions of the Bible. I wanted to read the New King James Version and the Amplified Bible, but let me just go to the Amplified because of time. In verse 12 of Revelation chapter 22, the Bible says, "Behold, I, Jesus, am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to each one according to the merit of his deeds, his earthly works, his faithfulness. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the eternal one. Blessed, happy, prosperous, to be admired, are those who wash their robes in the blood of Christ by believing and trusting in him, the righteous who do his commandments, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, the godless, the impure, those of low moral character, and the sorcerers with their intoxicating drugs and magic arts, and the immoral persons, the perverted, the molesters, and the adulterers, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying, deception, and cheating. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you and to give you assurance of these things for the churches. I am the root, the source, the life, and the offspring of David, the radiant and the bright morning star. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus says, that's why I went to the new, to the Amplified, because when you read it in the New KJV, the word Jesus is not put in there initially. But the Bible says, but I, Jesus, am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to each one according to the merit of his deeds, his ethra works, faithfulness. But it's verse 13 that I wanted us to look at. Because the one who has spoken in verse 12 gives more description about himself. And he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. If you read the Message version, it says, I am the A and the Z, meaning Z. Now, it doesn't mean that Jesus' name is A and his name is Z. It doesn't mean that. There's more to that, because Alpha and Omega are actually the first letter in the Greek alphabet and the last letter in the Greek alphabet. So that's where Alpha and Omega is. There's nothing godly about that. It's just like A and Z. Hallelujah. It's just like A and Z. You can't tell me there's something godly about A and there's something godly about Z. It's A and Z. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But there is a reason why Jesus refers to that in order for us to have an understanding. And in order to expound on that, he says, I want you to know that when I'm saying I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the A and the Z, I am basically saying that I am the beginning, and I am saying I am the end. I am saying I am the first, and I am the last. Now, in order for us to expand on that a little bit more, when you go into Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, the Bible says in the New King James Version, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. So when Jesus is saying, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, there is something he is saying. He is saying, besides me, there is no God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if somebody says that, you better listen to what he's saying. Because it's either he is crazy, he doesn't know what he's talking about, or he truly knows what he's talking about. When you go in Psalm 90 verse 2, the Bible says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So already immediately you begin to discover that the story of Jesus did not start in the manger. The story of Jesus did not start at the River Jordan, and it didn't even start at the cross. Yes, we sing at the cross, where I first saw the light. But that was a continuation of something that is eternal. Because Jesus is saying, I am the eternal God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you begin to dig the scriptures, the word of God says, in eternity past, this Jesus who refers to him as the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and the eternal God, the beginning and the end, the Bible says, he was the Word. And the Bible says that as the Word, all things were made by Christ, all things were made for Christ, and all things were made in Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The scripture records, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. Now, just for me to shed more light, and because of time, we're not going to read all that. When you go into the book of Revelation, which I know we tend to run away from because there's a lot there that we do not understand, there are several moments when Jesus refers to himself in many, many ways. When you come in the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, in verse 5 alone, he refers to himself by three different names. So he says, I am the faithful witness. And immediately it took me to what goes on in the world. Do you know you can go to court? Even though you did the right thing, you can lose the case. Because somebody who is not a faithful witness can stand up and say what they have to say. And what they say, based on the evidence they produce, even though it may be cooked up evidence, you can lose the case. And you'll not be the first one. When the Jews and the leaders of the, I just say the church, for lack of a better word, decided, this man, we are going to crucify him. They literally came up with things and said, you know what, guys, you need to be able to say this. And when you say these things, and we bring you out, and Pilate is asking, so who do I release for you, the king of the Jews or Barabbas? And the people said, based on what we have heard, it's better, I think Barabbas is the one to be released. And the Son of Man, the Son of God, was crucified. When Jesus rose from the dead, we are told that the leaders at that time said, these are the things that he used to say. But you know what, guys? I think you need to come to the point of saying, the guy did not rise. But the ones who follow him came in the night and they saw the body. And truly, the Bible says they were given money to do that. And the people woke up and got like, no, the man did not rise. We were very fast asleep. And some people came, pushed the stone away, and they saw the body. Where the body is gone, we don't know. The man hasn't risen. Interestingly, the man now they're saying the body had been stolen was shown up to all of them. And I don't know how they had to answer that part. Possibly they said, no, that one was version A, but this one is version B. Maybe. But Jesus says, I am the faithful witness. And now when he says, I am the faithful witness, you better listen to what he is going to say. Because his witness is not going to be a false one.
Amen.
And he says, I am the firstborn from the dead. And he says, I am the ruler over the kings of the earth. Now, the way I think, and this is just me thinking, when it's not in the Bible, I like to be able to tell people, this is me thinking. So I started thinking about the kings of the earth. And I started thinking, you know, there's a king, he has got a whole country. So I was like, okay, so Jesus, you're basically saying, when you're saying you are the ruler over the kings of the earth, so you are actually the ruler over King Nswati. And you are the ruler over King Charles. And you are the ruler over the king in Belgium. And I was like, but do they know that you are the ruler over them? It's another thing we can go on and on, because then we can begin to try to expound on their kingdoms. And you know, their kingdoms are the ones that some of us desire to go and at least live there. And I see more and more people are living, actually, wanting to go and live there. Which, there's nothing bad about it. I just want you to know, when you go there and leave, just know that, yeah, this place is nice, looks great, but there's another guy who says that he is even the ruler over the king who is ruling over me. So I think I should obey the one who is the ruler over the king. Amen? And then in 1:8, Revelation says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In Revelation 5:5, he says, I am the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In Revelation 5:5, he says, I am the root of David. In Revelation 17:4, he says, I am the Lamb, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. In Revelation 19:13, he says, I am the Word of God. And in Revelation 19:16 says, I am the King of Kings. And Revelation 19:16 says, I am the Lord of Lords. So when he's referring to himself about all these things, no wonder then the Bible begins to say, all things were made by Christ, for Christ, in Christ. Colossians 1:16 says, for in him, meaning Jesus, all things were created. Things in heaven, things on earth, things that are visible, and things that are invisible. Whether thrones, or powers, or rulers, or authorities, all things have been created through him. And for him. New King James reads, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or prosperities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. So I can say about you today, you were created for Jesus.
Amen.
You didn't create yourself. You didn't come here because your father and mother wanted a child. You are here because the Lord wanted you here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if he wanted you here, then it's important to be able to say, hey, God, you said you wanted me here. So what did I come to do here? Hallelujah. Because he says, I'm bringing a reward. With the scripture we read, he says, I'm bringing a reward. And when I bring this reward, I'm going to give this reward to give to each one according to his deeds. Which means your deeds here on planet Earth matter before the Lord. Whatever you do. Hallelujah. It matters before the Lord. You can't just say, oh, no, it's my life. No, it matters before the Lord. Everything in creation was made by Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus. And you are part of creation. Somehow, even though all things were made by him, for him, and in him, for some reason, God decided the word would be made flesh, and that word should dwell among men. The only way any person on planet Earth can comprehend and understand the reason whereby the Word had to become flesh and dwell among men, you better study about the man. Amen. So the study we're going to do is we're going to do a study about Jesus. For us to know, why do we believe in him? Amen?
Amen.
Because otherwise you can believe heresy. When you go into the gospel of Christ, you find a record or the record of why Christ, who always was, who always shall be, who always is, took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. He doesn't change. We change. He doesn't. I can tell you one thing today. And tomorrow I'll say, the time I said it, I actually don't know what was going on in my head. Not with him. He says what he means and he means what he says.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Same. If you want to find real authenticity, you're going to find it in Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if there is a message everyone must understand, if they are going to live and walk free from the bondage of sin, then it is the message of the Christ. It's not a message of works. It's not a message of human effort. And I love it because the Bible clearly says about all these things which I'm going to say just right now. But if somebody truly wants to be free from bondage of sin, then the answer is there. The answer is the Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The message of the Christ will completely change everything about the person who believes in him. And that's why I was saying the needs are good. I love the needs. If I tell you that I don't want food, I don't want clothes, I don't want that, I'm lying. But I know what he also says. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. In verse 1, he says, but you know what? There are people who sweat for these things. There are people who will not sleep for these things. They are busy thinking, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? What shall we do that? And Jesus says, you know what? All those things are good. It's okay. They are good. But I'm giving you a secret. Seek me first. You just seek me. And all these things, I'm going to add to you. And it's more or less like he's saying, the others are sweating. Do you know sweat? Have you seen sweat before? Have you ever seen sweat before? Have you seen ad? Ad, when somebody is adding, he says, it's like dashing you, for lack of a better word. Sometimes there are words that struggle to come out of my mouth because of the place I lived someday in my life. So the word dash, I know you don't understand. But where I come from, they understand what I'm saying. Dash, there's no sweat in it. Like if I say, oh yeah, you have a watch.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
I would like to add this watch to you. Tell me, how much sweating have you done? The same thing. Well, somebody else will sweat, will cook up things to get this very same thing on. And there's another one who says, oh, okay. You say you are the Christ. You are the provider of all things. Okay. I'm seeking you. I'm seeking your kingdom. And the Lord says, I'm going to add. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when the Bible is saying, I want us to understand, when the Bible is saying, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You must understand what a gift is. Nobody sweats for a gift. Hallelujah. Nobody sweats for a gift. When the Bible says you've been saved by grace, I think we live in a time whereby we have abused grace because we don't understand what grace is. Since this is a gift, it's not of works, because if it was of works, then somebody else somewhere was going to boast. So something interesting happens. The Jews, they loved Christ, but they rejected Jesus. And they say, this Jesus guy is just a carpenter from Nazareth. And then Jesus says, okay, fine, you can say what you are saying, but I'm going to tell you something else very important which you should understand and remember all the days of your life. So he tells them in John chapter 8 verse 24b. And he says, if you do not believe that I am he, the Christ, you will die in your sins. If you do not believe, you will die in your sins. Which means if you believe that I am the Christ, I'm going to save your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus, the carpenter from Nazareth, was the Christ that they were busy looking for. And we're going to look at all that. And even though they were looking for the Christ, and the Christ came, they refused to believe it. Why? He looked just like them. I think we live in the days whereby sometimes I told you about how I think. So I think if Jesus was going to come from heaven on some wings and angels around him, and the angels were like, "Te-te-te-te-te-do-ta-ta! Here comes the Christ! Here comes the Christ!" Possibly they were going to believe. And understand my words, possibly. But because he came, was a baby. Okay, Uncle Ev. TJ, your boy. One day he wakes up and he says to you, I am the Christ. What are you going to do? Elder Nyam Nyam Mark comes over to you and he says, it's great to meet you. But actually, all this time you didn't know. I am the Christ. I am he. If you don't believe in me, you're going to die in your sins. What are you going to do? Your son, do you have a son? He says, so mommy, I just wanted to inform you. I am the Christ. Will you believe? You're going to think it's blasphemy. So you can now understand why they were looking for the Christ, and Jesus of Nazareth, the son of the carpenter. The man is blaspheming too much. The man is blaspheming. And you'll be shocked that these things which he says to us to this day, we still struggle to believe. And I will tell you, if you can't believe before you see, even if you were going to see, you were still not going to believe. Because believing in him is something beyond all. Amen?
Amen?
So they were busy looking for him. And those who believed They were born of God. Those who refused to believe died in their sins and were lost. And what I have said right now applies to this day. It applies to this day. What I would like to say is this, very, very simple. The word of God is true. It's up to you to believe or not believe. And that I can't do on your behalf. The word of God is true. Anyone that would do the same, to believe that the word of God is true, is going to find the gospel to be a simple message with the power to make everyone who believes in it free indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When he says, him whom the Son sets free is free indeed, it means he's free indeed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there's a whole story that happened in Luke chapter 6. And I'll just read one part of that story. Then I'll pray. Then we can have Holy Communion. He had said a lot of things in Luke chapter 6. A lot. By the time he comes to verse 46, this Jesus says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Why do you call me mommy, 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 and you don't do what I'm telling you to do? Haven't you said that to your children? Why do you call me daddy, 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 and the things which I tell you to do, you don't do? The things I tell you. And I wonder why. It's amazing about our children. I love our children. But our children, there's a certain point, they believe everything we say, everything we say, everything we say, until the day they go to school. When they come back, and you say, they say, hey, mommy, no, teacher said. Teacher said. And you said, between teacher and me, who really wishes you well? No, but teacher said. And I'll tell you the truth. They will refuse to obey what you say because teacher said. There is a lot that is said to us by the word which has made us to refuse to believe what Christ says.
Amen.
I remember one day I had to tell one of my kids, I said, look, let me say this to you. And I want you to understand well, well. If there is a person on planet Earth who wishes well, it's me.
Yes.
The only challenge you have is that you see me angry, you see me this, you see me that, you have concluded I is just some human being. And the teacher, you don't live in their house.
Yes.
So for you to this day, it was, hey, amazing man, oh, hey, this guy is great, this guy is amazing. Me, you have seen my flesh. When I'm eating, you know, daddy goes, mwah, mwah, mwah. You don't know how teacher eats. You think when teacher is eating, bring me the fork, bring me the knife. And you say, the way dad eats, this is eating. So I said, look here, I wish you well in life. And there's nobody on planet Earth who is going to wish you well in life than me. And if I had wanted to kill you, I would have killed you the day you came out of your mother's womb. So your head should never deceive you and think, I don't wish you well. But you've got the right to obey what I say, and you've got also got the right to disobey what I say. But you're going to bear the consequences. If you tell the children on that, these days that, they are going to walk out of the door. I've told a lot of the parents. I say, do you know when the children reach the age of 13, They are no longer a teenager. They are not a teenager. They are an adult. And the only reason they are living in your house is poverty. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. Try to give that 13-year-old of yours and says, oh yeah, now you're an adult. Now we are giving you all the money. You can leave. They'll say, what kind of revelation? It's not flesh and blood that has revealed this to you. That's the only day they'll believe you walk with the Lord. That will be the day. They are not a teenager. Unfortunately, we want to treat them as what? Teenagers. No, they're not teenagers. And I've said to a lot of parents, and I'm going to close there and then we'll continue this next week. But, you know, I've said to a lot of parents, the moment they become 13, the way you can understand it in this way. You are now no longer one country. You are different nations living in the same place. You have now become the Federation of Rhodesia and Nyasaland. You are the Federal Republic of Chinyamnyam. There's a nation called Mark in it. The other young man, Longyezo and Prince. Yeah. So there is the country called Mark, the country called Longyezo, and the country called what? Prince. And then there's a country called Chinyamnyam. You understand? So this country called Chinyamnyam, if it's going to relate with the country called Longyezo or Mark or Prince, there has to be a minister of foreign affairs who negotiates and have diplomatic ties with the other country. But because the other country is still poor, is still waiting for the day of independence, when they will say, finally, finally, we are independent and we can now go. So in this time, once we are waiting for the emancipation, the freedom to come, let's only occupy this small space. It's called their bedroom. And they can live in their bedroom from morning till evening. And they can put on the door, knock before you enter. Because this is not your country. And it's more or less like saying, where's the passport? You don't just come into a country. If you just come anyhow, you are an illegal migrant. So the relationship, it's independent states. So you need to say, Zambia, we wanted to talk to you. Our name is Malawi. On this issue, can we have diplomatic relations? And they have to say, yes, we agree. If they don't agree, to this day, you Malawians, you still speak to Britain. Hey, you can't speak to us like that. We are a sovereign state. We are an independent nation after 50, how many years? They are an independent nation. Only reason in the house, poverty. And the day you will say, finally, you can go. We are giving you the freedom. On that day, you are going to hear the words, it's not flesh and blood that has revealed this to you, but the Spirit of the Father. So Jesus tells them, you call me Lord, why don't you do what I say? And I want you to hear, the question was, why don't you want to do the things which I say? The question was, why do you not do the things which I say? Because wanting to do and doing are different. You think your children don't want to wash plates? They want to wash plates. But they will speak to you like Paul. The things I want to do, mommy, I don't understand. I don't do. And the things I don't want to do are the ones I do. Who is going to save me from this wanting to do and I don't do? It's there in Romans chapter 7, 19. You think they don't want to wash a car? They want. But something in them, somehow, they just discover, mommy, and they will tell you, I think it's the devil. Have you heard many people, actually the people who say, you know, it's not me who did it. I think it's Satan. And sometimes I actually think we have given the devil too much glory. So next week, I'm going to answer two questions. Because there's a difference between who is the Christ and what is the Christ. Who is the president of Malawi right now? Answer the question and then we finish. Who is the president? What is the president? Who is the president? You answered.
Yes.
What is the president? You won't answer. Now you're busy thinking. You're thinking too much. There's a very big difference between who is the Christ and what is the Christ. And if you do not understand what is the Christ, you're going to struggle to follow who is the Christ.
May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.